Well, it is a blessing to be here. And you know what? It's a blessing to see so many that we know. I told somebody a little bit ago, I hate that you're letting these kids grow up. Some of them bigger than me now. I'm afraid I might have said something in the past to offend some of them. And I really don't want to be mad at me. You know what I mean? Are you happy in the Lord tonight? Are you really happy in the Lord? I often ask myself this question. Am I really ready to see Him face to face? Am I really ready to see? And I remind myself, it is a daily task to get myself ready to see Him face to face. We were in a meeting over in the mountains some years back, and we were singing that song, Face to Face. And one of the ladies who had been coming to the church, they had moved there from Florida, and she got to thinking about that thing, and she knew she was not ready, and she broke out crying, sobbing, and went to the altar and saved. Hey. I wonder, has it ever really dawned on your mind what it will be like to see our Savior face to face? It's going to be an awesome, awesome situation. It really is. But that's not my message tonight. That's just a thought that the Lord put in my mind on the way up here, because one day we're going to see Him face to face. But in the meantime, in what I call the nasty now and now, there is so much. I'm so thankful that the Lord has provided us with all of the positives of the knowledge of salvation through Jesus Christ. My, how this world is filled with negatives, but our salvation, our book, our promises, listen, the positives of the book of God are just something that we need to cling to in these days as we face the onslaught of the deceit of the devil. Now, I could preach on the positives of His power. I could preach on the positive of His promises. I could preach on the positive of the permanent place of rest that we'll have. But tonight, I'd like to draw your mind to this thought. The positive of the peace of His presence. We were in a meeting some months back where the theme of the meeting was to get to know His presence. And I believe the better we know Him in this life, the more fulfilling that it's going to be as we step before the judgment seat of Christ and know Him face to face. We live in a world that has shrunk to the point where our cultures are literally colliding. Sometimes we wonder, what is the problem today? And that's what it is. I mean, our world has literally shrunk to almost to the point where we're all neighbors. We live in a time of increasing fear and certainly elevated confusion. Listen, with the abandonment of biblical morality, we have moved to the age of narcissism. If you don't know what that word really means, you ought to look it up, because it's me-ism. It's all about me. Where Jesus said, when the lawyer quizzed Him there in Matthew 22 about the greatest of the commandments, He said this. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like unto this, thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two hang all the law and the prophets. And yet we live in a day when people really have very little time and very little concern for others. I'm sure you've noticed that driving in traffic, amen? Our economies are unstable, the world markets are emotional and shifting, and our governments are in a severe, fierce struggle as to who's going to be dominant. Politics have grown greedy and they've grown deceptive. The world is wrestling over whose money is going to be dominant. The entire civilization seems at a loss as to how to gain any measure of stability. Washington cries change. The financial world cries stimulus. But the people still cry peace. Where will we find peace? We'll only find peace when we know the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. There is no other peace. Where to from here? Where are we going to get these answers that we need in the world today? Without godly integrity, there are no answers to all the negatives that these ominous perplexities present to us. In our life today, we have a condition that is almost devoid of integrity. And I ask you a couple of questions. Is it practical in these days to continue proclaiming the goodness and the love of God? Is it realistic to continue in the faith and continue to trust even in times actually of persecution? Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. And I want you to join me tonight just for a few moments in Psalm 31. Psalm 31. You know, that was in my Bible. Here it is. Oh, there it is. Yeah, all right. Let me set the stage for you a little bit. Now, David is writing this psalm, but it's after one of the most traumatic events of his entire life. His son Absalom had stolen the hearts of the people, and he had gathered the armies of Israel and was marching into Jerusalem, and David was forced to flee with his faithful few. Ahithophel, his strong counselor, had betrayed him. Simei lived out on the edge of town, and he threw dirt and rocks and cursed at him as he went by. That was David King. He was actually on his way out into Mahanaim, which was a wilderness at that time. And he was forced to live on the charity of Barzillai. But now, there's been a great battle. Absalom is dead. David has been restored to his throne. And more than that, he has learned just how faithful our God is. And as he writes this psalm, and I won't take the time to read it all, but just think about, here's this man who's been through this traumatic experience, lost his favorite son, and now has been restored to his throne. And he's writing the psalm. But I'm going to pick up tonight in verse 15. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. I have to stop and say that reminds me of somebody in present-day world. Amen. Verse 19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee, before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plenteously rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. I want to kind of center a few thoughts this evening and not keep you very long. They're in verses 19 and 20. And remember the situation with David at that time. And now he has found out that the Lord had all that was necessary for him laid up for him. Don't ever forget that while our God is a sovereign God, in his sovereignty, he gives you free will. And in many of the decisions that we make, we put ourselves into a situation where we have to suffer consequences. And we ought not to ever forget that. But God always knows. He's never taken by surprise. So sometimes, I don't understand me because I'm a slow learner. And often God has to put me through some rough times just so I can learn how really ignorant I have been. But I tell you what, one of my favorite verses these days comes out of Matthew, the 14th chapter. And there, he's fed the 5,000, and he has constrained the disciples to get into a ship and go out into the sea, and he has gone to pray. But at the same time, there has been a contrary wind come, and they are tossed and driven. And I would imagine that those men in that boat that night had come to the point where they were sure that life was over for them. It was that desperate a situation. But there in the 14th chapter of Matthew, I'm sorry, the 14th chapter, yeah, verse 25, it says this. In the fourth watch of the night. Now, how many of you been in service, been in the military? Then you know what the fourth watch of the night is. You know what it is to march guard duty on the fourth. Boy, what a desperate and desolate and dark time of I tell you what, it is the worst of the day, is the fourth watch. But the point is that it was in the fourth watch of the night that he came to them. Now, they were about to be drowned. The waves were high. The boat was full. But in the fourth watch of the night, when they couldn't come to him, he went to them. And he was walking on the waves. Now, their problem that night was the wind and the waves, but he was walking on the wind and the waves. The songwriter said, when the waves are over my head, they're still under his feet. Amen? Amen? Listen, regardless of the fact that the enemy comes so strong against us and makes sometimes it seems like such strong inroads, you must remember God is still my Savior and Lord, and he has me under his wing. But let me not get ahead of myself. Before we go too far, I want you to look at that verse 19, because there are some caveats in there. It says in the 19th verse, oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for whom? For those that fear thee. And he goes on to say, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee, and you do it before men. Now, I have a principle for you that you might want to write down and not forget it. God's love is unconditional, but his blessings are specifically conditioned on obedience. The songwriter had it just exactly right, Brother Pastor, when he wrote, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that 19th verse is making the point there that if we want the blessings of the Lord, if we want to be sheltered in Him, if we want to know His peace, then it is our part to be sure that we are in subjection to His will for our lives. For those that fear Him, for those that trust Him, for those that are being a faithful witness before mankind. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now we live in some what I consider dark times. We live in a day when we don't really understand a lot of what's going on. I mean, earthquakes, volcano eruptions, storms, you name it. The earth itself, to me, is saying the end times are near. And listen, it isn't going to be a piece of cake, and I'm not being negative, I'm being positive, because we've got a place where we can hide. We can be sheltered. But I wanted to make the point first that it's for those who are trusting and are faithful to Him. Now, let me move on, because I'm going to get behind if I don't. Look at verse 20. Boy, how this blessed my heart. "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence." Now remember, we're talking about the peace of His presence. Knowing the peace of His presence. "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the secret of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." Now, does that mean that we don't have a job to do? Absolutely not. It's still, "Go ye into all the world to preach the gospel." So it's not a matter of running from the fight. It's not a matter of trying to stay out of the way. It's a matter of trusting in God to do what He told us that He would do, which is He would hide us, meaning He would give us everything that's needed to complete, accomplish, and get done the job that He sends each of us to do. But there's a word there that I want to touch on, because it's not a word that's common in today's vernacular, and that's the word pavilion. Pavilion. So I took the liberty to do a little research on that word. And I found that there in the Hebrew, that could also be interpreted as a hut. Now, that may not mean much to you, but can you imagine yourself secreted in a hut with the God of the universe as your protection? Let me carry that just a little further, because that word hut there means, woo, I love it, the place of the family. The place of the family. How wonderful it is that each of us, each born-again believer, can understand that we're a part of the family. If you go in and read Ephesians there in the second chapter, in the latter part of it, and the middle wall of partition has been broken down, and coming to Him in faith, believing, trusting Him as our Savior, we become a part of the family. And what the psalmist is telling us here is that as a part of the family, if we're trusting in Him, we revere Him as He's the great God. He is the Almighty. He's the Alpha and Omega. Colossians says, all things are held together by Him. Without Him, there is nothing. And yet, He has time for me. He has time for me. He will hide me in the family place. He'll hide me in the hut, in the pavilion. And I can know the peace of His presence as He sequesters me there in that place. It's not an escape in the physical sense, but it's certainly an escape in the spiritual sense. Because if we're to know any peace at all in this day's world, we're going to have to find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:27, says that we can know divine peace. And there in John 16:33, it says that peace can only be found in Him. We look every place in the universe for peace, but the place where peace is found. Do you know what the favorite trick of the devil is? Always, his favorite trick is deception. And we in the United States of America, living in the finest economic times in the greatest country that ever existed, and we have been deceived with stuff. The greatest business going today is storage. Stuff. But don't you understand that that's where people are looking for their peace? They're looking for their satisfaction. They're looking for their enjoyment. They're looking for their entertainment in stuff. I am absolute. Of course, I know I'm an older generation. I understand that, and that's okay, because I'm going to beat you home in 9 chances out of 10. Brother Rice, I think of that often. He came home one night, and somebody was ransacking his study. And when he walked in, the young man pulled a gun on him. He said, "I'm going to kill you." He said, "Young man, you can't threaten me with heaven." The young man dropped his gun and ran. But we must be careful that we don't fall into the trap of deception that's set for us every day. We have all the goods you could want. We have, you know, of course, we're beyond fulfilling our needs and fulfilling our wants and really fulfilling our desires. We're at the point, I've got a right. We don't have a right. We don't have a right. The only right we've got as a born-again believer is to give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him that He, through the sweet Holy Spirit of God, would direct our lives in the paths He would have us to go, that we might be a faithful witness unto Him. And if you'll do that, then you can know the peace of His presence. Now let me say to you tonight, I would hope that this week is all about worship, all about knowing God better. Because the better you know Him, the better you can serve Him. The better you know Him, the more you will understand the depth and the height and the breadth of the love of God. It's the only way that you can really come to the joy of His salvation, is by drawing close to Him and letting Him fill you with His Spirit, that you might walk in the ways that He would direct. Oh, listen, don't you want peace? Don't you want to know peace? Even in the midst of all of the trauma and all of the bad news and all of the dark clouds, don't you want to know true peace? Let me ask you another question. How long has it been since you knew the peace of His pavilion? How long has it been since you actually felt like one of the family? How long has it been since you really felt like you were at peace with Him? Because if you're not at peace with Him, then you'll not know peace. Now that's a word that really rings a bell in the heart of every believer. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints. Song. Tonight, let's just conclude this service by centering our attention on Him. Let's conclude the service tonight by really drawing close the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, God's love is unconditional, but his blessings are reserved for those who are obedient. And if we can keep that in mind, we live in a day of narcissism, meism. Don't let the devil trap you into that. Start each day and end each day with your mind on the things of the Lord. And again, I say, we live in a negative situation, but we have all of the positives of the gospel on our side. There's no reason that we can't know peace, because it's all about him. I wonder if you'd stand with me tonight. And I want to invite everyone who would to come to the altar. Now listen, the altar is always open for those who may not know him as Savior. And we'd be delighted to take the word and show you just how much he loves you. But I wonder if tonight we could conclude the service drawing close to him, seeking his peace, knowing his presence, given over, yielded to his will in our lives.